Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible.
But here's the thing.
Everybody, everyone, everywhere has a choice.
Be good humans.
Dre?
Yes?
Who was it that just said, be good humans?
That, my friend, was my 97-year-old grandma. God bless Helen Cowan of Fort Smith, Arkansas. Who is quite the sport. Yeah, I explained to her that we're doing this podcast and that we've got a goofy little theme song and that each episode we're going to have somebody different at the end of our goofy theme song say, be good human. So she was absolutely game. She gave me 3 different reads on it, by the way, like a pro. And that's what we wound up.
How sweet.
I know, right? Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Totally non sequitur question for you. What was your first car?
My first car was my grandpa. My grandpa.
You drove your grandpa?
Yes. Yes, I drove him hard. He died before his time.
Oh, man. Wow. We just ran out of the gate.
Jeez, already, right, God.
Can you hear everybody? Like, just they've just changed the channel. We just started.
Okay. My first car was my grandfather's Chevy Impala.
Impala.
Yeah, he had passed away, and Dad gave me that to drive back and forth to college. The funny thing was, though, and I had no money.
Yeah. Well.
The car ran fine, but it had one problem.
Mm.
It squeaked. There was something wrong with the suspension system,
right.
And
I could hear it coming.
Forgot what it was, but you could hear me literally about a half a block away.
That was you or the car?
It was both, right? Okay. But as soon as I would get on campus and park in the student parking, mm-hmm. and the hot girls would be walking by, and here I am trying to be cool in my new car.
Of course,
my new old car. If you hit a speed bump and then it's over. How about you? What was your first car?
My first car was a Lincoln Continental station wagon that my dad bought from his partner for $800.
Nice.
And it had the wood tone decaling down the side of it. And I put like cool wheels on it. And I put some vinyl letters on the side that I christened it Le Thing. But the biggest problem was it had this massive engine.
Okay.
And it was like 0 to 60 in less than a Tesla. And oh boy, that was
not, muscle car.
That was not a car. It looked like a mother car, but it was not a car that you wanted to pack 19 of your friends into. And then,
sure.
Yeah. But I survived.
Well, I'm a car guy. I always have been.
You're serious about it. Is there like a short list of favorite, because you had a lot of cars, but like just a short list of favorite cars didn't come to mind?
Favorite for different reasons, but one is it was a big beater, old beater car. Again, this is a couple of years later in college.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no money, so I spent, I think it was $400 on a Catalina. Is that what it's called? It was a boat. It was a four-door. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Boat. And you know, you didn't change lanes. You just listed over.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
like a boat.
Yes, yes.
But it was just beat up. So I was also DJing in a lounge, a restaurant lounge.
Yeah, you were.
And in the winter, in Illinois, it's there's snow on the ground. There's ice all over. And one of the customers came in, Brian, a guy just hit your car, and I got his license plate for you. It's like, oh, thank you. I go out there, big dent in the back.
Right.
So
it's a Catalina. It's hard to avoid.
Exactly. Right. I contacted him and got his insurance company and got the insurance money. I didn't fix it.
Oh, of course not.
I went to Texas to see my girlfriend.
Of course.
I flew to Texas.
Of course.
So that happened actually twice where I just would take the insurance money and be like, who cares what it looks like?
And that's what you do. That's what you do. I remember it's like I had a variety of cars.
Yeah.
But I have to say that some of my favorite cars were not my cars. They were my parents' cars. My dad had a 77 Jeep Wrangler that he had put, you know, like any great Jeep owner, he had put all of this work into it. It was called the Grizzly Goat because he looked kind of like Grizzly Adams, and he called the Jeep the Goat because of the 4x4 of it all. But like it literally had a cartoon goat heads on the sides of it, and the goat's beard turned into multicolored
food. Wow, down the side.
So like,
how tacky is that?
It was amazing.
Great.
So driving my dad's Jeep actually started a love affair. Have you ever had a Jeep?
I'm just paralleling you.
Okay.
I did. I had a Jeep I think maybe in my third year out here in LA. And I did like your dad. I tricked it out. I put a big lift kit on it.
Yeah.
I put a huge like speaker, you know, in the back, it's a Wrangler. So you have to open that little door for storage. There's no storage.
No,
there's a huge speaker in there. And this year, or this model, the newest model they had, came with really ugly seats, cloth seats.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found out at this place that made a neoprene.
Oh.
So it was white with big, huge wheels, wheels, and then black neoprene seats.
Oh, that's tricked out.
It had an umbrella on top.
That's
I could put it
out.
Down. And I used to love just whatever mood I was in. And this is the best thing about one of the best things about owning a Jeep is like taking the doors off and driving around down, you know, just changing it. It was so many configurations.
Listen,
put the windshield down if you want.
Yeah, just having the top off in general, especially in a place like LA, but really anywhere in the country, but especially in LA, like I remember really loving the sensation of driving for anybody who might be local and listening. Like you come out of the west side and up over the 405, over the Sepulveda Pass, and it was like driving into a hairdryer because you could feel the 25 degree temperature conversion.
Yeah.
But like that was great. I love all that stuff. There were some not so great things, right? Like I would get my stereo repeatedly stolen or jumper cable stolen or the blanket out of the back or whatever.
Sure,
like
sure.
Generally speaking, driving a Jeep is a great experience also in part because there's a Jeep community.
There is. Right?
There's like you learn these little soft rules.
Yeah.
Like, did you learn pretty early on? Like you got to wave at other Jeeps?
Yeah, I learned by doing. You have to do it.
Yeah.
I waved at a cop once and he pulled me over. He did. Because I had just taken off my seatbelt in a stoplight, and I reached down to get something, and I forgot to put it back on.
Oh, so you thought you were just messing with it,
I guess. Yeah. So I pull, you know, the green light, and I start up again, and I wave at him because he's on the side of the street. Lights come on the motorcycle, pulls me over. It turned out to be. Do you remember that story a long time ago where Zsa Zsa Gabor slapped a cop?
Oh my God, not that cop.
It was him.
No way.
It was him. And I found out it was him.
Did you slap him?
No, I didn't. I didn't know it was that guy at the time,
okay.
But he gave me this long, very disturbing lecture.
Sure.
And he just gave me, and no one.
Well,
no,
he's a man who had seen some abuse. He needed to be hurt.
Well, no wonder she slapped him because he was really annoying. I mean, usually cops are like, license plate, la, la, la. He was like, you know, if this thing rolls over, you know, you could get your head cut off. You could be decapitated. And he just went on and on. And I just went, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. My dad was a cop. And so I always have respect for them. A cop used to park in front of my house behind the big tall hedges to pick up speeders on my street. And I befriended him. And I told him about that once. And he goes, let me see the ticket. So he showed me the ticket. This is the guy that Zsa Zsa Gabor slapped. And he's got a nickname. I go, what's his nickname? He goes, all the other cops call him Ozone because he's out there. And that kind of makes sense.
That's amazing.
But
that's
yeah, amazing. Jeep, you owned a Jeep. I owned a Jeep.
Yeah.
And like you said, it is a tight-knit community. It really is. You wave at everyone. And if you're parked next to one, you have to get out and, you know, compliment them. And oh, I like what you did. Where'd you get those?
Yeah.
When
you got a Jeep, you feel like you're a part of a tribe.
Yeah. So you're a huge fan of Jeeps.
It's true.
I'm a huge fan of Jeeps. We both owned them, loved them, did some pretty questionable things with them, I'm thinking.
I'm not copping to any of that.
All right. Well, even if you've never driven a Jeep,
mm-hmm.
You don't like Jeeps.
Yeah.
You'll never own a Jeep.
Sure.
We're going to share a story with you that actually has nothing to do with cars, but has everything to do with being a good human.
Perfect.
We have Alice in Parliament calling from Canada, and she is probably the hugest, biggest Jeep fan on the face of this earth, and she has done something remarkable.
Well, welcome, Allison.
Thanks for having me.
It is our distinct pleasure, but let's stick with the Jeeps for a second.
Yeah.
Where did your love for Jeeps begin exactly?
My love for Jeep probably started when I could sit up. My great uncle used to restore antique military Jeeps for a hobby.
Wow.
And have us out in them on the trails in Bancroft, Ontario, Canada, where I grew up. Pretty much every chance he got, as long as the weather was nice. So it's been a lifelong love for me.
So as a toddler, you're like in the back of a Willys or whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. So that's where this early love for Jeeps begins. And so then presumably somewhere around you turn 16, you start, you know, it's time to have your own car. Is the first car a Jeep?
My first car was not. It was actually a Z28 convertible Camaro with an LS1 engine in it.
Wait a minute. At 16, you have a Z28.
Wow.
Dad had a little bit of a midlife crisis, to put it nicely. I bought it while we were living in Indiana.
Okay.
And when I was old enough to drive, he was kind enough to let me drive it to school. And eventually we turned that into a Jeep Liberty. And I bought my Wrangler in June of 2020.
Wow. Well, see, we were just talking about this. My dad had a Jeep Wrangler when I was 16. And so he would occasionally let me drive that to school. But that's kind of where my love started. But wow, you started in a Z28. 28. So you were the cool kid in the parking lot.
I was kind of the cool kid. I was also the book nerd, so it kind of balanced it out.
Okay, good, good, good.
Did everybody want to ride with you in that Z28, though?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, when I was allowed to have friends with me.
So you have dual citizenship, correct? Canada, U.S. How much time do you spend in each? Kind of split?
Right now, I spend a majority of my time in Ontario because my grandmother is here and my life has kind of been here. But I do make it down a couple of times, well, significant amounts of time in the summer.
So fair amount of time on the road in a Jeep. What would you say in driving Jeeps is kind of like your favorite thing about driving them?
When the weather's nice, having the top off is always a bonus. And being able to get through anything and everything is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, I was very thankful a few years ago coming home to Ontario during a blizzard. I had four-wheel drive because I had a drive on from Louisville, Kentucky, all the way to Detroit, Michigan. I have a camping setup that works in the back of the Jeep really well as long as my English Mastiff isn't with us.
Oh, yeah. That would definitely put a crimp on the camping. But, yeah, that's one of the great things about Jeeps, right, is that they're so expandable in so many different ways. And, yeah, you can literally live out of them. That mirrors our experiences in terms of, like, things that we love and have spoken about loving about driving Jeeps. To the extent, Allison, that you are comfortable going back there, take us back to July of 2020, when apparently in making a ride from Alabama to Canada in a Jeep, you did not have such a good time on the road.
Yeah, I had just bought the Jeep and I decided to come back up here because with the border lockdown, I was able to come back and forth.
And just for a little context, let's paint a picture here.
Yep.
Relationships with Canada and America weren't that good during COVID.
Yeah, a little frosty.
Here's the reason why. America, a lot more lax on COVID protocol than Canada was. So they were protesting Canadians. They were coming out saying we must close our border because Americans are literally crossing our border and giving us COVID.
So here comes Allison driving a Jeep with an Alabama plate.
And my grandma was up here alone, and she's now in her 90s. So I wanted to make sure she had somebody because all my siblings and parents live around the U.S. So I don't have kids. It seemed like the best choice to come up. And in doing so, when I stopped just after I crossed the border to get gas, I had somebody that decided not to be so kind. Put their hands on me, pushed me back into my Jeep, and hit me a couple times and told me to go back to my own country.
Hit you.
So actual physical assault at a roadside stop.
And maybe you don't have to give verbatim what he said, but I mean, what was the sentiment?
He didn't want me there because I was intentionally spreading COVID, is what he said. I came home just to protect my family because I had to quarantine up here as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to make sure I wasn't bringing anything into the house that could potentially hurt anybody else. And
of course.
I was taking more precautions than most. And then I had this guy come up while I was stretching in a parking lot before I got gas, you know, screaming and carrying on. And then he decided to put his hands on me.
Was anyone else around to witness this? I mean, it'd be horrifying.
It was horrifying, but unfortunately it was dark and it was like 2 in the morning.
Well, I mean, first of all, just on human terms, like, I'm sorry that happened to you. Nobody deserves that kind of treatment, is least of all at 2 in the morning. But how frightening that must have been. I mean, you must have been truly traumatized by that experience.
Very much so. I didn't want to leave the house once I got home. Like, I left without gas and on a Jeep on empty. That's not a good idea. And the next gas station was like 30, 45 minutes away. I made it barely. Like, somebody had been looking out for me there because my tank was so empty, it took 19.8 gallons.
Wow.
So,
driving fumes.
Literally and emotionally, too, because I would have, I mean, just after the average conversation with Brian, I want to curl up in a corner in the dark for a few hours. But like you, I mean, honestly, not to make light of it, this was a deeply traumatic experience. How did you process it? What'd you do?
Unfortunately, I've had some bad experiences with people in my past, so I've learned how to process pretty well with things, but I also have a really good support system behind me. My family was awesome through all of it, and, you know, they just kind of let me be while I needed it, and then convinced me, okay, you know, you've been here for 2 weeks, let's go up north and, you know, do something up there where people, you know, kind of are used to you guys coming in and out.
Sure.
So we decided to venture out for Canada Day and the next few days after that and just spend some time with my cousin Jade and wander through town and do the trails up there, which turned out to be a lot of fun. and the stores had just started opening back up again.
Right.
So we were all excited to get out and, you know, go to the bookstore. And the cottage store was also open. So we went in and they have a little mixture of like everything from clothing to, you know, toys and whatever.
My kind of place.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we were wandering. I saw the bag of ducks and
bag of rubber ducks. Like a, how big were the ducks?
One was giant and then it had a bunch of little baby ducks to go with it.
Okay.
So you walk out of the store with your bag of ducks.
Yeah, and there's another Jeep parked behind mine, and I was looking around because I always have Sharpies in the Jeep or whatever vehicle I'm in. I'm a dork.
No, you're not. I have them too.
And so, in any case, we decided, hey, we'll write on one of the ducks because I didn't have any paper in the Jeep.
Okay.
So we wrote, nice Jeep, have a great day. And I didn't know the gentleman that owned the Jeep was watching us from another storefront. And he came out laughing. And he was a big guy. Like, I'm 6 feet tall, and he made me look short. So, like, oh, I'm sitting there, like, dying, praying he's not going to yell at me.
Right.
Just, that is amazing. Like, he thought it was amazing.
And how did that make you feel?
It made me feel a little safer and relax a little bit because, you know, people were noticing the Jeep, not the tag from Alabama. Yeah,
right.
And, like, in that area, my family is all over, so it's kind of nice to be home, but I was still a little apprehensive when we had first gone out, so that made it a little easier to go back out.
Right.
Could you tell me, going back, you wrote the note on the duck with your Sharpie, and you put it on this guy's Jeep, not knowing he was watching you do this. Why did you do that?
I love the Jeep. It had been fully kitted out. It had the new wheels. It had, you know, a big lift kit, everything a new Jeeper wants on their vehicle.
Right.
So, like, it was giving me ideas, and I figured it and hoped it would make him smile.
You had this instinct to try and put a smile on somebody's face in spite of what you had gone through. This might be a good chance to tell a story, sort of an opposite reaction, right? Not passing any judgment here, but this is a story that happened here in Los Angeles about 30 years ago, right? And the story that hit the news at that point was the story of a woman, local woman, who had just suffered an unexpected traumatic breakup with a boyfriend who drove a Jeep. And so after the breakup, she proceeded to go and kind of tie one on at a local LA bar. And then she went to a local LA gas station and she got a little portable gas can and she filled it up with gasoline. She proceeded to drive around the streets of Los Angeles in one night and torch every single Jeep she saw. And by the time the sun rose, millions of dollars worth of Jeeps had been destroyed, okay? Again, no judgment on this woman. We've all had bad days. We all handle things differently. But in your case, it's really interesting. So we asked you how you got your love for Jeeps. This speaks to a level of sort of resiliency that you have a little bit, Allison. So where do you think that instinct came from?
That is a mixture of things. When I was growing up, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer at 32.
Oh.
She's pregnant with my youngest brother. And we just lost my mom's sister to the same disease. So,
so sorry.
So sorry.
Thank you. My mom was super strong through all of that. And we had some other things that have happened. I was assaulted when I was in high school. A student tried to kill me.
Oh, my gosh.
So rather than, you know, be hateful, I had such a big support system behind me. I was thankful for the people that stood with me through that. So I've learned to have really bad days at times, and the love and support and kindness of others really gets you through that.
And that's the amazing thing. If you look at the woman in Trey's story and then look what you did, just a little act of kindness. I mean, there's choices that you make, and you had just recently been assaulted.
Yeah.
Was it therapeutic for you to say, hi, you're not alone. We're all in this together, this COVID.
Yep. I wanted people to see past the license plate, past the scary things going on, back to the things, you know, that make us people. At the end of the day, you know, a neighbor coming over and saying hi when you've had a crap day, coming in your driveway can make things better. Or
absolutely,
something, you know, buying a cup of coffee for you in front of you in line. Those little things are bigger than people realize. With the duck, we figured if we could make one person smile in town, that was better than, you know, feeling like crap. So...
Okay. And then this leads to the next extraordinary part of this story, which is, right, like, out of acorns grow mighty oaks. What you didn't realize at the time is that you were about to launch a global phenomenon. For those of you who are listening here, whether you're Jeep owners or not, this began a literally global phenomenon known as Jeep ducking.
And if you're a Jeep owner, you may know about this already. Even if you if you're a Jeep owner, you may have heard about it, but you've never heard why, how this phenomenon started.
Not 2 days ago, I had a meeting here in Los Angeles with someone who happens to be a Jeep owner. And when I began to talk about this story, he said, "Oh, I have all kinds of rubber ducks in my glove compartment. I had no idea how this started." So talk to us about what happened next, Allison.
We hashtag the duck with a photo on Instagram. And I put a Facebook group up just because we noticed we were getting a lot of traffic on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And within a few hours, we had 100 people, and then we had 1,000 people, and then we had thousands of people. We hit all 50 states and all the provinces in Canada within 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
And it kept growing. We're in 86 countries with over 500,000 people playing now.
Now, when you say we're in, that means people are Jeep ducking all over the world, meaning for the same reason you did it. Jeep owners, like many things, they're very, very tight-knit group.
Very tribal group, yeah.
Very, very tribal. And they started doing it. They started writing notes on ducks and then just Jeep ducking. It's almost playing tag, you're it, in a wonderful, heartfelt way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. And we watched this continue to grow and people started reaching out. We did some interviews at the beginning and Jeep released the 392 Rubicon with Duck Duck Jeep, which was amazing to see our hashtag up there.
Oh, really?
I reached out at the very beginning and emailed them explaining what I had done just in case Jeep didn't like it.
Yeah.
And their social media team told us if they wanted to use it, they'd let us know. Well, we never heard anything. And then we see it with the 392 Rubicon. So I reached back out and Jim Morrison, the head of Jeep North America, called me back. I had a significant fangirl moment in my living room.
Of course you did.
That was really cool. And we've worked alongside Jeep a few times over the last few years. And they actually were kind enough to loan me a 4xe Wrangler last season for 2 months.
No way.
With some of the travel. I asked and they said yes. I was kind of in shock, but it was absolutely amazing. We had so much fun with it. And it gave us time to get repairs done on my Jeep that needed to be done last season.
Mm-hmm.
You're a celebrity now, basically, in the Jeep world. Like it, admit it or not. Yep. But you're kind of a celebrity. Has anyone ever ducked you, not knowing you're the, if I can say this, the mother duckler?
It actually happens a lot if I'm in the Silver Sahara that I own. She's not quite as noticeable as the new one, but Quack Attack is a little bit more understated because she is silver. So people will duck her and not realize until later. And that really fun. Or I had one guy come up telling me all about myself.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And he said something about me having kids. I was like, I don't have children, but I appreciate that. it went over his head when I said that. And he was telling me all about where I'm from and all these things. And I'm like, so hi, I'm Allison Parliament. He's like, no, I don't have kids. And I do actually off-road because a lot of people assume I'm a pavement princess and I don't get my Jeep dirty. I teach off-roading and basics as well, just because, you know, in our community, supporting new Jeepers is also a fun part of what we do.
Sure.
So the guy kind of looked at me. He was bright red, walked away. So I went and got some ducks and put them all around his Jeep and wrote thanks on one of them. And,
There you go.
So you have this celebrity now, and are you enjoying it?
There are times when I love it. There are times when I hate it. I'm very, very fortunate that my family has been a big support in this. My mom actually bought a Rubicon because of this.
Oh, there you go.
And her plate on her Jeep down in Alabama is Duck Duck, which is incredible. And my brother actually called me, I think it was last Christmas. He goes, I hate you. I was like, what the heck did I do to you? Because he made me spend money. I was like, haha, funny. Like, I'm not even going to see you for Christmas this year. So how's that working for you?
Right.
And he goes, I bought a Jeep Rubicon. I was like, oh. And right. My niece has a little Power Wheels Jeep. And she has her own hashtag. And she goes out ducking with her ducks.
That's amazing.
You've been ducked how many times now?
So at Smoky Mountain, we counted this year 1,500 through the parades and everything, just running up and down the strip.
Okay.
And then in the wild, I've been ducked 38 times, so not as much as many.
In the wild. I love that.
We call it in the wild because, like, if you're out and you're at an event, it's different if people are ducking you.
Right.
At an event versus, you know, hunting for Jeeps.
Yeah.
But total, I think we're sitting at 2,600 ducks for right now.
Wow.
And
wow.
I have shelves and shelves and shelves in my office of just individual and special ducks. Like, if we get doubles, we do reduck those. But there are so many amazing ducks out there that are so different from each other. So it's really neat to see what you get. You guys want the total of how many ducks we've given out?
Yeah.
That is 78,000 ducks at this point.
You're getting ducks from all over the world, right? They'll yep. send you their own and personalized.
Yep. Some of them have been like covered in gems that people have individually put all over the duck. Uh-huh. I've had ducks from Holland. I've had ducks from Ireland, Scotland. I had one that just came in from Egypt. I have one from Greece. I'm trying to think. I have some from Denmark. The Aussie duck that came in was really cool. I have one from Mexico that's the Day of the Dead duck. And we've had other countries or people in other countries send them to us. We have a military member right now from Alabama ducking in Kosovo.
Oh, which is how?
When did it become obvious to you that this is a much bigger thing, that this is going to be worldwide, global?
I mean, at the beginning when we saw it spreading, I had an idea that it was getting big. But I think this year at Smoky Mountain Jeep Invasion, it hit a little further than it normally would because we signed 7,000 ducks in a week.
Holy cow.
I thought my hand was going to fall off. And it's somewhere probably the hardest one I've dealt with in a season. Mm. I lost the use of part of one of my hands because I was attacked by a dog while we were at an event.
Oh, no.
How are you now?
I'm still dealing with injury.
Oh, ouch.
But with that, it took out half of our season this season.
No.
And I had people reaching out, you know, sending messages of support and kindness to me through all of this. And it made a huge difference because it's like going from able to dress yourself to having to ask your mom to help you put a sweatshirt on is a really humbling moment in its own
right. Of course. Sure.
Of course.
When our duckers found out that I had been injured, people were offering help, offering us a place to stay on the way home because the drive was going to be longer since I was by myself for this event.
Right.
I actually
right.
had a gentleman recognize me when I was getting gas on the way home.
Yeah.
I couldn't get myself out of the Jeep because I couldn't undo my seatbelt. And he was a Jeeper. He came over because he saw me and he was like, oh, are you okay? And I was like, I'm trying to get out of the Jeep and I can't. I was like, if I give you my card, and I know that's a big trust thing, but he was a Jeeper, so I was hoping, would you mind pumping my gas for me so I don't have to try to figure this out? Because once I get home, I'll have help on the other side of the border. He never ran my card.
Wow.
And he sent me on my way, and I didn't realize he didn't fill my tank with my card.
That's
I filled it.
Amazing.
Okay, and the moral of the story is, when you find a way to put a little bit of love into the world, even if it comes in the unlikely form of a rubber duck, of all things... Mm-hmm. It has a way of coming back at you. It has a way of being magnified, even in the way that it comes back at you and the rest of the world.
And it also shows how much the world needs more of it.
Oh, 100%. I mean, first of all, not only should you be getting an annual fruit basket with a free Jeep from Jeep every year, but whoever's out there making rubber ducks owes you a great deal.
You're right. You should be like, at least the people who make them should take you to dinner.
This is the point, Allison. We all process things in different ways. And what we're trying to highlight here through people like you is the choice that these situations represent. And again, nothing against the woman who decided to set Jeeps on fire, but you had essentially...
I have something against that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sure the law would.
But you had essentially... But we can't walk in her shoes, right? But you had essentially your own version of the same kind of choice to make. And you decided to err on the side of... joy, happiness, trying to like put a smile on somebody's face without any real intention of it getting any bigger than that one singular personal moment. So thank you for being a great Jeep owner, by the way. Thank you for the rubber ducks of it all, just to put a little smile on everybody's face, because who can't smile at a rubber duck? But thank you most of all for just being a good human, Allison.
Thank you as well for having me. You guys are awesome.
Well, I don't know what else we can say to her at this point other than duck off. Thank you. You've heard all the duck jokes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I even have a t-shirt that says, go duck yourself. and I duck on the first date is another one that's
really good. Excellent. All the duck puns. Well done.
We've gotten to that point of ducky puns where my mom just rolls her eyes and keeps walking.
Well, now we're sitting here, we're now in our heads, our own heads going like, oh, go ahead and duck, what?
Yeah,
this is exactly why
we need to cut this off.
Thank you very much, Allison. We'll talk to you later.
And that's kind of an amazing story. Just the way that like you do this one little thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's the ripple effect.
Yeah.
You do this one little thing and then it just blows into something that you could never possibly imagine.
And it never would have happened without social media.
That's correct.
It never would have happened.
And it never would have happened critically if Allison weren't the kind of person who didn't make that choice.
Mm-hmm. Going from afraid to leave the house for days to I'm going to do something nice for someone else that I don't know to make them feel like they're not alone.
That is correct. So really, this makes me want to do three things. First, I want to find some small thing that I can do like Allison did that actually puts smiles on people's faces. Secondly, I want to encourage anybody who's listening to us right now to go visit Allison's Instagram account, which I think is Official Ducking Jeep EST 2020. So it's established 2020, Official Ducking Jeep EST 2020. Go follow them on Instagram and you'll get all kinds of fun related to this.
And do we want to know the third thing? I'm a little concerned.
It's a fair question, but I'll keep it simple.
Okay.
The third thing it makes me want to do is go drive a Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
We will rent one.
Okay, let's do it.
We'll take the top off.
Uh-huh.
Take the doors off.
Wait, when you say top off, do you mean the Jeep or we were shirtless?
I actually mean both. We take the top off the Jeep and we drive around shirtless for the chicks.
Which ones exactly?
We'd get ducked, but not in the good kind of duck.
So true.
All right. Well, so that's the show. We appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed. And it says only one more thing to do. In fact, you want to do it?
You want me to do it?
You do it.
Well, I'm doing this in the presence of greatness, but here it goes. Be good, humans.